Al, it's been 12 years since I last saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time that happened, I was in Camp Echo as a prisoner of the United States of America, and you were my guardsman. You used to be, you know, your duty was to guard me 24 hours a day sometimes. Tonight, you're going to be staying in my house. And I got the keys.
But yeah.
What does it feel like to have been through that process? I know what it feels like for me, but for you to come after all those years to finally meet with me as an equal, as a friend, and as somebody who sees me as a free man.
First of all, in my eyes, you were always my friend, even when I first met you. And it's because of the way you carried yourself. You were respectful, you asked questions, and I answered them. And I answered them the only way I know, normal. Just be myself. And I did. And then after a while, I started to get to know you a little bit and hear your story. And I checked out most of it, you know, through what you said. And I believed you. You had an honest charisma about you that wasn't only let me hear what you wanted me to hear. You were telling the truth about mostly everything at that point when I met you in Camp Echo. And when I left Camp Echo, I didn't want to leave because I knew you were staying there, and that bothered me. I wanted to make sure you and a few others were out of there before I left. I even came home and tried to rejoin so I can go back to Cuba. And to see that in your film, some of your discussions where you were bringing some of the pictures back in my head to about Cuba, you showed Camp 4, Camp Delta, you showed Camp, the newer camp, I don't even know the name of that one. But it brought me back to where I left you. And it kind of made me feel sad at that moment. Happy that you're out, happy that you're doing well, happy that you're still... you're here and you allowed me to stay in your house. I didn't find you a threat then, and I don't find you a threat now. So if we were staying at your house or we went over to one of your friends' house, I still would have stayed over. And when I was asked if I wanted to stay in the hotel and the train, what train I wanted the thing, I clearly said right away, I'd rather stay at your house.
And you are most welcome, my friend. You are most welcome.
And I know that.
This evening has been just amazing for me because we're in the city where I was born and raised, in a park where I've been coming as a child, and in a cinema theater where you saw a film, seated next to my daughter, my son, my brothers, we're all been here, and you finally got to see the real me, surrounded by my people, my relatives, my friends.
Let me just clarify one thing for you. The real you, regardless if it was here at Getmo, I saw the real you then.
Agreed.
That's why I'm here now.
Yeah.
And this is just an extra bonus for me because this is 12 years in the making. Like I said, I was worried about you when I left. Because at one point, when you came back from a session, interrogation or whatever it was, even though you were still in Echo and that should have been the last of anything going on for you, you came back and told me they told you you should commit suicide, and that's what killed me after knowing you and befriending you. And a lot of other MPs did the same thing. We know you. Just because you're in prison doesn't mean we don't know you. Most of your characteristics are going to be there regardless. You live there. So most of your characters and your heart is going to show. And it showed in that film. And sitting with your family, your brother on one side, and your daughter on the other side, which I asked your brother to text you because she was crying and she had a water bottle.
And you did not know.
Well, she didn't have a water bottle or tissue. And I said, listen, I don't have a phone. Can you get Mo while you were standing in the back to get water and some tissue for your daughter? I even gave her my hat to wipe her tears with. And she refused. She just kept going like this. And I felt bad right there, too. But that's where my kindness still runs. It runs to people because I didn't even know it was your daughter at first. It wasn't until your brother told me that's who you, your daughter is.
Wow, that's just amazing.
And I was just offering my hat just to wipe her tears with. So
this is a story. Myself and yours. One or two other Guantanamo soldiers have come over to the UK before. But I didn't know them. There was Chris, there was Terry, and they were really, really great, amazing people. And they bought the story of the soldiers there that we wanted people to see, is that, you know, by no means was every soldier there an abuser. In fact, if it wasn't for some of you guys, we would have lost our sanity. But for me, this is really special because it's the first time somebody I knew personally really well from inside there, a friend from there that's come over here to visit me as a friend. And so for me, that's something just, it's really hard to describe. And the fact that you're going to be able to stay with me this evening now is not only a pleasure and honor for me, but what do you think this kind of thing, how do you think the haters, the people who just despise, hate on one side or hate on the other, how do you think, what message do you think they're going to take from this?
Some people are going to call me a traitor probably, or some people are going to look at you still as a terrorist. No matter what we do, we're going to go through the same crap. It's the individual and how they're raised is what comes out in people. I was, like I said, came from a diverse family, different backgrounds. My neighborhood was different. So I naturally came in. I didn't see color, didn't see religion. I just saw people dehumanized. And that's all that matters. So when I see you and I go to you, it's not because of your skin color or your religion. Yeah, your religion was fascinating to me because no matter what you were going through, you kept to it. And there was a point while you were there that you would ask detainees and MPs, a few of them, what do you think I should do? Just give up on my own self religion in a cocky way. And I came up straight forward and said, no, man, that's what makes you who you are. If you can't keep going that way, then why? And you said I had the perfect answer out of other people that you questioned that same question to. Because some people did break there where they did try to change the religion, which was, to me, stupid. You don't have to change anything. Just because you're in the worst of the worst place, and you're not the worst of the worst people, as they said, you have to buckle down, tell yourself it's going to be over soon, and just pray for the best, whatever religion you are. It doesn't matter. Me, I couldn't even last a week what you did for 2-3 years. Not even. So that just tells me how much of your inner soul was stronger than what you were, you know, people would think you had, or think you would change your mind about something, or sign a document, which you did sign, but it was under duress, and we all know that. I would have signed it long ago. I would have been like another David Hicks. I would have just signed away. But unless I had a God like myself there, like you had, who gave you encouragement and try to play games with you or whatever, you show me how to play chess, that's a minor thing in the world to somebody else, but to me that meant a lot. That meant this guy is not only a prisoner of some bogus war, but he's also a friend that people are starting to see. He's not just what they say him to be,
you know,
because they told us you're the worst of the worst and crazy stuff,
you know. Our stories, in one sense, the stories of the prisoners have been said often, and I know that you follow them and heard them, and by its very nature, because you were there, even though you're on the other side of the wire, you're very connected to what happens to everybody else.
Sure.
But what we don't really hear about very much is what happened to you guys. A lot of the soldiers, people like you and you yourself, went through a period where, to this day, you're affected by what happened. Like, you went through something that it's hard for us to understand because
when you watch another
different side,
like yourself, when you watch somebody, even if he's not your friend or not, again, I don't see color, I don't see religion, I don't see any of those things. Those things don't exist to me. What I see is humans. When I see another human, and being tortured, even though I was in on one of them, it killed me. It killed me because I was there just as many hours as he was there. And what I seen in grown men and what grown men do to other grown men makes me sick. And there was no war. This was just a war of terror. And there is no terror. If you want to think about terror, you got to think about my country or even your country going to another country and over oil and what they do. We don't fight an army. We fight everyday people. You take poor people from the United States, put them in the military, poor people from UK, put them in the military, and they all go over to another thing and they fight other poor people. We're not there for the people. We're there for other reasons that are not in our everyday control, mine and yours. We're average people. We're peasants.
And when you realized all of this, what did it do to you? Like, your experience of what you saw
in
us?
It made me thank God that I had the upbringing I did, or I wouldn't be as good as a good of an MP for you.
Military police.
Military police, not your MP.
Members of Parliament.
Yes. Yeah. Military police. Because there's different types of military police. There's some that'll take that, oh, I get a badge, you know, start rattling the cage like you're at a friggin' park towards an animal or something, and you're not. You're human beings, just like everybody else.
So. Well, you know,
I hope.
It's been, you know, back in Guantanamo, I used to call you Malisi because that was, you know, everybody was known
by the last name.
But I don't like calling people by their
last
name.
I know, it's Albert.
You know, Albert, yeah. you're Albert. And my number was 558, but you never used to call me 558.
Never. What do I call you? I call you today.
Mo. And you're the only one who does that.
Why am I going to say Mozam and then Mr. Beg? That sounds too informal. Yeah. Say, hey, Mo, what's going on today? Well, like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo, what's going on?
This has been, you know, amazing. You're going back to the States soon, but I pray and I ask, you know, the Creator that we are united again and are able to meet each other as friends.
We will.
And that people can learn from our experience and make this world a better place.
Like I said, not only you are welcome in my house, but any members of your family want to go on vacation in Florida, I will have in my house.
Hope we can take you up one day.
Yeah, man.
Cool.